my body as a believer has a relationship to God that a sinner's body does not have. I have been brought into a new and redemptive relationship. Israel in Egypt was different than Israel under the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. There was a total dependence upon God that they had not known under the aegis of Pharaoh. There was an entirely new health program. Believers suffer sickness. I have known sickness. I have a right to ask, why as a child of God am I sick? I have a right to further ask, why am I allowed to become sick as a sinner becomes sick, since I belong to God? What redemptive rights do I enjoy? When I have accepted the New Testament contract, and it is enforced by the testimony of the Spirit, I have access to healing properties and provisions unknown to sinners. My members are yielded to righteousness, and they reserve the right to receive righteous enablement. I am yet unborn spiritually, if I have not died with Christ and risen with him. In the picture God provides of the believer in the story of Israel, physical problems under Egyptian bondage were quite different than physical problems under divine freedom and leadership. There were doctors, physicians in Egypt. The Bible records the fact. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. But there is no record of physicians in the camp of Israel after they crossed the Red Sea. Medical science was an important and respected factor in Egyptian civilization. God did not provide his people with anything less than they had known in Egypt. It had to be superior. The temptation was present to go back to Egypt with its cost tag, bondage, and benefits. There were wanderings, 40 years of them, but never the heinous step of returning to Pharaoh. Egypt offered two things. It offers gratification and assistance. God guaranteed these to his called out ones. Israel bore before God the responsibility of choice, and they could not have it both ways. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah Rapha. God immediately leads them to springs of water and palm trees, and he rains bread from heaven for them, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my way or no. God assumes total responsibility for sustenance and welfare. It is in force only as the believer adheres to God's way. God reserves the right to test. I must ask myself immediately, at what point or points in the walk ordered me by God have I failed? Even the Son of God learned obedience, though he were a son. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. The believer's walk on earth is a learning process. And God is responsible for the believer's health as he is for his soul. He assumes that responsibility. God may use my health as a checkpoint. I may be inclined to indulge in a course of self-will, not necessarily involving moral evil. I simply want to do something that I want to do. I try to make up God's mind for him. I'm telling instead of listening. Now God can make me to lie down. When I squirm, I make matters worse. I add to the discomfort. I accumulate expense. The believer's answer is in God. He is totally, totally God's property. Any physical problem allowed by God, used as discipline or a check, can only become complicated when the believer seeks either redress or comfort from the science of a world system. No physician, I repeat, no physician can circumvent God. The greater loss to the believer must be the failure to find the purpose and the victory God wishes that believer to learn and enjoy. Far better, mister, sickness or death than to miss God's best for my life. It's like the prayer of a real committed parent who prays, God, I would rather see this child, as precious as this child is, taken early in life than to see this child live and sin against thee and break my heart as the child's parent. It isn't easy, as it sounds, to pray, "Thy will be done." The battle is fought there. Will the priority be self or God? One thing is certain, God requires faith. David made the right choice. Wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? And David said unto Gad, the preacher, "I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man." The option is spelled out. It is either the hand of the Lord or the hand of man. Where is your trust? To whom do you belong? The believer is in a stronger relationship than the Israelite. I am a member of the body of Christ, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. I share his resurrection, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I am a child of faith, who are of the household of faith. It's not necessary to argue whether or not the promises of healing were the exclusive property of Israel. The relation of the believer to the risen Christ brings the body into a position of privilege and blessing beyond anything the Israelite knew. The believer's access to resurrection life is direct and ample. I have the full benefits of Christ's victory. It was for me. The Old Testament employed miracle and outward sign. They were further employed by Jesus in his earthly ministry among his own earthly people. My physical well-being is the result of vital union with the glorified man whom God has raised from among the dead, and through the presence of the Spirit of life indwelling and quickening my mortal body. My benefits in Jesus are in proportion to my separation from a world system. God abhors mixture. Paul sets forth the believer's position to the Galatians. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The line is defined and drawn. Can I be justified in seeking the world's pleasures, its honors, or its answers? No, not if I'm crucified. The redeemed body is the temple of the Holy Spirit exclusively. The Son of God will discipline and check until this direction is observed and accomplished. There can be no other stated use of the body for the believer. It is redeemed to be the vehicle of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the landlord, and he must decide upon repairs, renovations, and upkeep. Satan assaults me. He does the sinner and much more the believer. I expect that. I cannot come to terms with the devil. At present, Satan has the power of death. Disease is a manifestation of that power. I face his threats. Mankind does his best to resist, to neutralize these threats. Jesus alone is victor. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. So I am in trouble whenever I discount Jesus. Occasion is given to the scoffer to say that God's children can talk about trusting him when all goes well, but that when a real need arises and a real challenge overtakes them, they immediately rush to aliens, strangers, and foreigners from the covenants of promise for help. We become responsible for that indictment. We also withhold from those who need our testimony of trust and triumph. Such testimony that will aid them to overcome. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. There can be no successful New Testament evangelism without such testimony, mister. The sinner has a right to ask, does it work? Does it work under all conditions? God's way must always be the better way. Not just as good or an option, the better way. This is the key to the epistle to the Hebrews. The New Testament contract is better than the Old Testament contract. For the law made nothing perfect. but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. God's efficiency is always better than man's blunders. And when I give myself to God, I volunteered to surrender myself as a mirror, that the ungodly may see in me Gethsemane, Golgotha, and Olivet. Paul said, "For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to man. God reserves the right to use you as his stage." I must inquire as a believer how I can be among those of whom Paul speaks, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What steps must I take? What steps must God take toward me that my whole body be preserved blameless, blameless? There must be an area of victory open for me that the sinner does not and cannot enjoy. So physical healing, sir, must always be a part of the glorious gospel. Calvary redeems my body as it redeems my soul and my mind. Faith will appropriate this victory for me. So many are answering the invitation. I thank God for an evangelistic service. They spell out the need and the answer to that need. And we welcome the chance to kneel beside you. God bless you as you find the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
I've turned to these lines more often than any other in my library, and I hope you may send for them. I'll be glad to share them with you. They speak so eloquently to my soul. It is only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design, but I cannot unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is not known to such as I. The flower of God opens so sweetly in my hands, it would fade and die. If I cannot unfold a rosebud, this flower of God's design, then how can I think I have wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll trust him for his leading each moment of every day, and I'll look to him for his guidance each step of the pilgrim way. For the pathway that lies before me, my heavenly Father knows. I'll trust him to unfold the moments just as he unfolds the rose. That is our prayer in this service at the long, long altar, and to which we all say, Amen. Come with me as we search with the Spirit's guidance for some particularly troubled soul at this altar. Some mother, kneeling with us and pouring her heart out to God with us, is terribly concerned about a request from her daughter who is graduating from high school. The class is planning a senior trip of almost a week's duration. Your daughter would like to go. It is under faculty guidance, but it is so different to what you were permitted to do at her age. Mother dear, trust your daughter. She will not let you down. Her faith and her principles are stronger than you realize. I feel this assurance towards you as I minister. So God bless you, Mother. Now, all of us have been to the meeting. We gather at this time every week awaiting the return of Jesus. We are the largest charismatic group of friends on earth, the Revival Time Fellowship. We do not have suppers or entertainments. We have prayer meetings and Bible studies. And we proclaim and we practice that it is not by might nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord.